So, who knows a way that Hanukkah is scriptural? Anybody know one way? But the first way Hanukkah is scriptural, remember, is Nevi Daniel. Prophet Daniel prophesied the events before they happened, and Hanukkah happened in 165 B.C. and B.C.E., to be politically correct. And he prophesied them in detail hundreds of years before it happened, and so the Bible is supernatural with the prophetic word, and that proves the Bible to be true. And so Daniel prophesied the events that Antiochus Epiphanes then did, and Antiochus was the person that desecrated the temple, and then the Jewish people revolted with the Maccabees, and they had to rededicate the temple then and clean it up because it had been desolated. So they cleaned it up and rededicated it, and that is Hanukkah is the word dedication in Hebrew. So that's the origin of the story. The 8 days of Hanukkah has the legend of the oil lasting for 8 days, but we don't know for sure if that happened. But we feel that the reason Hanukkah is 8 days is because the original temple was dedicated on a holy day, which was that, Sukkot. And Sukkot lasts 7 + 1 days with the Feast of Ingathering, 7 + 1. And so this dedication was probably a redo of Sukkot, which made it last 8 days. So that's the what happened at the beginning. Now, a second reason it's scriptural is then that there was a man that was prophesied about by all the prophets, all the Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim prophesied about this person who we know as HaMashiach. Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua HaMashiach, he came and he kept Hanukkah. So that's the second way it's scriptural for all of our Hellenistic Christian friends that don't understand what we're doing here. It was prophesied by the Bible, it came true, and then Yeshua went in John chapter 10 to the temple on the Feast of Dedication. And just to make it simpler for you, it says it was winter. The Bible's true. It's still winter. Oh, man. And Aslan is on the move. Oh, man. Okay. Yes, come on, Aslan. Okay, now, so Yeshua went to the temple then, and he taught dedication themes at the temple in John chapter 10 during the Feast of Dedication. So what could I say about that? I would say then that who keeps Hanukkah? God. So now, is it proper, if God keeps Hanukkah, for a believer in God to keep Hanukkah? It's just a thought. Just leave you with that. Since not very many of people in the body of Messiah has anything to do with Hanukkah, because they're distracted with the sun worship thing. But anyway, moving along, I won't bother you with that. But now, is that all the reasons it's scriptural? Daniel and then Yeshua keeping Hanukkah? No, there's more. There's more. Because Yeshua prophesied then. And Yeshua prophesied the same things pretty much that Daniel prophesied. Eschatology, right? And Yeshua said in Matthew 24 and in Revelation, which it's the same teacher in both cases, right? Yeshua is teaching John what to say in Rev. And Yeshua is teaching the disciples about the last days in Matthew, Esrim, Arba. And so what did Yeshua say? Well, the term that connects all of this in your Bible is this term called the abomination of desolation. And this comes from Daniel. And it refers to the Hanukkah story because Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated the temple, and that's the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. You have to say that really fast. So then Yeshua is teaching his disciples about the last days, and he says, when you guys see, meaning the last day church, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, see? And that had already happened 200 years near earlier. So what he was saying is that the real Hanukkah hasn't happened yet, because Antiochus was just a foreshadow of the beast of the last days, the fourth beast of Daniel, the eighth beast of Yochanan and Rev, right? They're the same beast. And that is the beast that is occupying the earth when Messiah comes and destroys the beast. And so the last day beast is Islam, which we don't have time to go into now. But anyway, those are three ways that it's scriptural. So the real cool thing about Hanukkah, maybe not cool is not the best word, but yeah, let's just say cool. It says that now you have to be modern day Maccabees. See, when they came to Antiochus's, when Antiochus's boys came to Modiim, there, and when you leave Jerusalem to go up to Yerushalayim, you see the big exit sign, Modiim, where Hanukkah took place, where it began, okay, with Matthias. And he had boys, but anyway, when they came to his town, they were going to make him sacrifice a pig and be Hellenistic and pagan. And most of the Jews would go along with it. Why? Because they didn't want to die. You're in the same situation today. Most of the church will go along with the beast because why? Fear. They don't want to die. Okay? So what happens in Modiim, though? What happens in your town? What happens to you in these days? When they come and want you to be like that, you will say, not in my town. So this is the theme of Hanukkah for you all. It ain't going to happen here. See? You're not going to let this happen. So Matthias goes out, and there's a Jew going to kill the pig, an apostate Jew, as it were. And Matthias doesn't go out and kill the Syrian soldier. He goes out and kills the Jew for becoming pagan. And then his sons came out and defeated the Syrians, and he had this grassroots guerrilla warfare type thing where they defeated the Syrians and Antiochus, and so then they got to rededicate the temple. Okay, so anyway, that's the story of Hanukkah, and so it is our story now. We are going to be in the last days, and we will see the beast of the last days, the sequel to Antiochus Epiphanes. So that's your future. You're in a war. Now, you're peaceful. I know you're peaceful, but you're in a war, so you're just going to have to fight. And when they come to make you a peaceful person and apostate, then you say, not in my town, and then you will fight. Amen. Okay, that's all you need to know about your Bible. And then Messiah will come, and you'll have great reward. Okay, so from the first day of Hanukkah, how many days has it been since Yom Kippur? Last part of Daniel, remember? There's 3.5 year period, 1,260 days, right? Blessed are those that endure to. There's 75 days added to the 3.5 year period. From Messiah's physical return to the earth on Yom Kippur, Mount of Olives, you count 75 more days and you always come to the first day of Hanukkah. So there'll be 75 days between, most likely, since the pattern is always set and stays set. He'll return on the Mount of Olives to destroy the Islam that's taking over Israel at that point. And Israel, all Israel will be saved. And 75 days later, he will dedicate the millennial temple. Okay, so there's 75 days. That's just an interesting part there. So who knows the seven seals of Revelation? The seven seals? Because if you're going to teach eschatology, most of the church will say, it doesn't matter, I won't be here. Because God will never let anything bad happen to me. I'll tell you. Hello. And so you have to be able to teach the pattern for the rapture concerning eschatology and the Hanukkah story that you are all about to be in, okay? And so I'll just go over this really quickly. How to teach the timing of the rapture. And whether or not you want to go Goshen or up, it doesn't matter to me. A Goshen rapture is that you just preserved, but you don't go up, which is okay to me because I'm scared of heights. But whether you go up or what is the timing of the rapture in respect to the second half of Daniel's 70th week? The second half of Daniel's 70th week is the 3.5 year tribulation. Okay. Got it? So how do you tell people the pattern? And because there's all kinds of books, and almost all the church and most of Messianic Judaism teaches pre-trib rapture because of the 7 days of the wedding celebration, which is a bad parallel to the tribulation, weddings and tribulations. Besides, the tribulation is 3.5 years, not 7 years. Okay. But anyway, what you do is you overlay Rev with Matthew 24. And it's remember, it's the same teacher. Yeshua's teaching John. Yeshua's teaching in Matthew 24, right? So you have first four horses. The four horsemen are the first four things that Yeshua teaches in Matthew 24. So put these overlay on top of each other, and you will get the perfect sequence for the timing of the rapture. Because Matthew 24 and Rev do the same sequence of events in order. So the first, the white horse is deception. And what is the first thing that Matthew 24 says when they said, what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age in the kingdom? And Yeshua doesn't answer their question. What does he say first? He says, do not be deceived. So the white horse is deception. And the first thing you need to know about the end times is that there's going to be deception. And that Yeshua is telling the disciples, don't be deceived. So there's a lot of ways you can be deceived in these last days. And you've already been around some of them, right? So you don't, and there, this is how you don't get deceived. You got to hold on to the book. Amen. And so then in Matthew 24, after he says deception, he says there'll be rumors of wars, the wars thing, wars and rumors of wars, which is a Jewish idiom for world war, actually. And the second horse in Rev, what is it about? Oh, it's the red horse, war. Okay. Now, what's the third thing in Matthew 24 that Yeshua mentions? He says there'll be famine, right? And what's the third seal, the third horse? Is the third seal? It's the black horse, famine. See, we got a pattern going here, okay? It's very simple now. They're saying the same thing, okay? And so now in Matthew 24, this is called early labor. It ain't bad yet. It ain't bad yet. See, you have deception and wars and famines, but that ain't the bad yet. That's early labor. And so then you go to the next thing in Matthew 24, and it's hard labor. And it's persecution, apostasy, and martyrdom. So what's the fourth seal in Rev? The fourth horse is death. Oh, same thing. Yeshua said in Matthew 24. Now you'll be handed over and put to death for my name's sake. Right? So now we have that. And so that's hard labor. And that's the great tribulation. Okay? Now what are we going to do now that we have that? Then we haven't had the rapture yet. Well, for crying out loud, that can't be. I need to be raptured for bad. I don't like bad. See, Daniel 11:32b. Those that know their God will do adventurous exploits. Okay? When is Daniel 11:32b talking about? The last days. It's the time of the beast, right? Okay, so the fifth seal, this is great. The fifth seal is the rapture. Yeah, no. Fifth seal, the martyred saints are crying out to God, how long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood on the beast? And you know what his answer is? Not yet. Your number's not full. There'll be more of you. That's good pre-trib talk. Oh, not yet. More of you are going to be persecuted to death for my name's sake. Hey, stick with the Bible, please. or this pre-trib nonsense is one of the deceptions that he started with, okay? Because it makes people unprepared for anything. And so then when trouble comes, they'll apostate. Okay, so then the sixth seal is the same as what's next in Matthew 24. Then there'll be the sign in the sun and the moon and the stars. And in Revelation chapter 6, you have the sign in the sun and the moon and the stars. Same exact thing in the pattern. Then you have the rapture in Matthew 24 and in Revelation 7. All of a sudden, John says, there's a great multitude in heaven. And praising God. And he goes, where did these come from? And he goes, they came out of the great tribulation. So now that's after the sixth seal, which is the sign in the sun and the moon and stars, is like rapture talk, right? Okay, now you have the seventh seal is all that's left. And in Matthew 24, in verse 14 and 37 through 39, we have Yeshua talking about the wrath of God. What's the seventh seal then, the last seal? The seven trumpets and the seven bowls, and it says in this, God's wrath is complete. Wrath is after the rapture. Persecution is before the rapture. Martyrdom is before the rapture. Then there's a rapture, and the only reason, let me tell you, the only reason there is a rapture is because the wrath of God is poured out on the earth. And you have to be separate from the wrath of God because the church is not ordained to wrath. Okay? So whether you are removed or in heaven, or if that's a vision that John had of just everybody worshiping with Yeshua, the details will be wonderful when we get to them. But the point is the timing of this thing, and this is how you look at it. You can throw in Matthew or 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, which says, the time of our gathering together be with the Lord cannot occur until the man of lawlessness is revealed by setting himself up in the temple. So, can the rapture happen today? Can we be gathered together to be with the Lord in the air today? No, because the man in lawlessness is not revealed by setting himself up in the temple. All of end times is centered around the Hanukkah story. There will be a temple, and then there will be a beast, and then there will be a Mashiach come. Okay? So this is the sequence of events, but there has to be a temple, and we're not praying for the temple so it can be desecrated. We're praying for the temple because Yeshua comes to his house. And it is his house that we are praying for, to bless his name, to honor his name, because he put his name there and said he would leave it there forever. So that is the point of the temple, is to honor God. It's not the beast's temple. It is called an abomination of desolation because it is God's holy house. Habet HaMikdash, right? The holy house of God. And he will come to his house quickly in the prophets. Okay, so are you having fun yet? So these are the Hanukkah themes. And we have tapes on it from previous years. And then you can go into all the teaching that Yeshua did at the temple during Hanukkah, which is fascinating. But the story of Hanukkah, I'll finish up with this. It took place in a time of compromise and apostasy. So now in Rev, you have the seven churches, which are all prophetic in church history. They're all to historical churches at the time. That all their teachings are for everybody in all time periods of the church, but they are also a pattern of church history. And the seventh church is Laodicea, which is the church where God is outside the door knocking. So the main characteristic of the last day church is God is not in it. And so this is the apostate church that is forming today. Okay? There will be a lot of the church that will stop following the book. Okay? And we see this happening today, right? In a lot of ways, this is happening. It's just getting going, but it's going to probably incorporate the combining of Islam and Christianity. It'll probably become Chrislam, to be politically correct and to keep your head, right? Okay, so it was the same back in those days. A lot of Israel wanted to become Hellenistic because they would get a better standard of living. The Greeks had the money. Alexander the Great's kingdom and all that happened where Antiochus came out of. Okay, the pattern is the same. We are in the last days, and so there is the first thing in Matthew 24, and the first horse is deception. So this is going to be a primary characteristic of the last day church, is there's going to be a lot of deception, right? And he says, many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah. That's not somebody coming and saying that they're Jesus. They're coming in the name of Jesus, and they are deceiving people. So it's going to be pastors that are deceiving people. There's not a bunch of false messiahs, everybody saying, I'm the Messiah. No, they're saying that Jesus is the Messiah, and they do the deceiving. Why? Left the book. You have to be book people. This is what the Muslims call you. You're people of the book. And they're right, by gollies. It's going to stay that way because they ain't coming to my town, right? Okay, so anyway, So you are the Maccabees, and you will hang in there and not apostate. So as Mike said earlier, the Jews have been celebrating Hanukkah for 2,200 years-ish, but 1,945 of those years with no temple. Can you imagine? 1,945 years they've been celebrating Hanukkah without a temple. And so all the agenda for the last days is centered around the temple coming back. And as you know, I teach to pray for the rebuilding of the temple, because when they do that and they bring the Ark of the Covenant out, that it will cause a revival. And I'm hoping that there is a revival in the last days. There isn't an objective verse to prove that, but we have a lot of hope for that, don't we? For God's people to raise up and for all the adventurous exploits that take place. But 1,945 years, a long time without a temple. And so now I'll make a statement here that I wrote this week, and it's a bad statement. But to celebrate Hanukkah and not to be an activist for the rebuilding of the temple makes you a kind of a hypocrite, right? If you're just celebrating Hanukkah and you have no concern for the rebuilding of the temple, then what is it? But I would tell all the Jews who are not supporting the temple to be built today to stop celebrating Hanukkah. Quit being hypocrites. Now, is that a radical statement? Now, you didn't hear it here. But I get that from our radical Jewish friends. That you know what makes them radical? They believe the book. So God kept Hanukkah. So happy Hanukkah to you all. And we will be entering in to these last days more quickly and quickly. Remember, he says, in those days I'll do things quickly. Boy, has it been quick or what? It's like our country turned upside down and went to hell overnight. Doesn't it seem like, I can't believe how fast it has happened. Man, like, it's amazing. And now all this stuff that's going on, and it's like the Bible is coming true in the newspaper every day, in the newspaper. And so once again, the whole world will turn against Israel. They'll turn against the Jewish people, and especially those radicals that want to have God's house. Amen. So here you are. How do you feel? I just say thank you to you all for being who you are. And I know I'm speaking that by the Holy Spirit from Hashem himself. He says thank you for being who you are, for being a modern day Maccabee and caring about what he cares about, and caring about what he did for his plan, which is about to become complete. Yavarekaka Adonai Vayishmereka. Ye ir Adonai Panavaleka Vechunecha. Yiso Adonai Panavaleka Voyoseim Lekha Shalom. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar HaShalom. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah, amen and amen. Shabbat shalom. Happy Hanukkah. Let your light shine.